Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back everyone to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. Today's podcast is slightly different. I am recording this under different circumstances. I need to really like ramble a bit about the context here. So first and foremost, this podcast, I will not be editing. I think today, I just want to keep it genuine, authentic, and raw. It's more of like just practicing, trying to speak and not over edit certain parts, and hopefully, you know, maybe once a month, once every 2 months, I have this kind of session to allow me to just talk and try and, you know, get better at it. Because lately I've been recording some episodes and I felt that I wasn't well prepared, and sometimes even if I prepare some stuff, the things I talk about doesn't really make much sense. Sometimes I'm not very coherent. And when I start editing it, it's very annoying. I keep on trying to edit out the parts where I'm rambling too much that doesn't make sense. I stammer a lot and it's pretty annoying. And I feel that maybe I just need to push through it to really just let this go. And it can get a bit stressful. I think nowadays, recently, it's getting, not really super stressful. Just a tinge of anxiety and stress where I keep on trying to make myself redo this recording and takes, because I mean, I want to get a perfect take, but at the same time, you know, I'm giving myself some leeway to edit, and sometimes even giving myself the leeway is not enough, and it's very annoying when I keep on having to edit it, and I'm not quite sure, man. I think I need a bit more practice to just let it go and just let myself be and don't really care about my weird speech or my arms, my ass, because it kind of, when I edit it, right, I keep on hearing it over and over again, and it just kind of like drives home the point that I suck. I still say a lot of arms even though I have been doing this for almost 2 years already, and it's very annoying. There are a lot of words that I'm using that is like, I keep on repeating the same word. Maybe it's just a perfectionist. And all these things kind of mounting pressure, you know, mounting stress. And I thought I should just let it go. And like, who the fuck cares? Just gonna talk. Go back to ground, like ground zero, level one again. And just talk. And don't really care about what other people think. Like, because, you know, don't put myself at the same standards as other professional podcasts where everything is edited out. The person is a wonderful, very eloquent speaker, and there's no ums, ahs. Everything is coherent. I'm just gonna put myself to my level where I just talk. Some dead silences, it's alright. Sometimes I say stupid stuff, so be it. And another reason why I'm doing this today and not doing an edited version is also, sometimes when you feel like you are going to get sick, this bubbling feeling, you haven't gotten sick yet, but you feel that it's going to come soon. And right now I'm having that feeling. I'm not quite sure whether tomorrow I will survive or not. Not like I will die, but whether I will have a crazy sore throat where I can't even talk at all. So while now I'm feeling slightly off, but I'm still functional, I'm going to just turn out this episode. I feel like I've been kind of behind because, you know, like what I mentioned just now, mounting pressure. I'm taking a lot more time to create one episode because I keep on stammering, I keep on getting anxious. Then because of all this stammering, my recordings, like my episodes, are longer. I need to edit more, and it's very annoying trying to listen through everything, make things more coherent. Hence, you know, I can't really create my backlog. Last time I can create like what, 4 episodes of backlog. Then I'm not really up to date, like, in the sense where like, oh, there's new thing happen. It's not really real life. Like 1 week, like the week I'm doing it is whatever that happened in that week. Last time I have a four episode backlog, and we can just, you know, not do anything, not record any episodes for quite a while. But now, I think because of the editing, the stress, I don't really have a backlog. Sometimes the most, like if there's a public holiday or if I take leave, I can get about a two episode backlog to kind of like churn through, just in case, you know, I don't really want to miss a week. I remember when I first started, maybe the third month, then I really missed like 3-4 weeks because I kind of lost motivation. Nobody was listening, but then I kind of got back into the groove, to the grind, and I didn't miss an episode since because of all the backlog and just forcing myself to do it whenever I feel very down or lazy. There are picks and troughs or trough in these kind of situations where sometimes I just don't want to do it. The editing part really just makes me kind of don't really like it that much. I keep on hearing myself, oh wow. Just reiterating the fact that I'm kind of terrible. But it's okay. I mean, this one is more of a very raw episode to just be myself and just talk, I suppose. Actually, this episode, the main topic I wanted to talk about is the worries of turning 29. I think I never really spoke about my real age, but I thought about it. It doesn't really matter whether you know my age or not. You can't really find me. There's no way you can like do stupid shit, right? Because I think I kind of get a bit scared, a bit paranoid. Like people know your name, people know what you do at work and everything, then they can come and harass you. But there isn't much information out there, so I think age is fine. There isn't anything you can do to backtrack, right? And the main thing I want to talk about is just the feeling of turning 29 recently and closing in on 30. I mean, 30 just seems like such a big deal. And you know, the big 30s, right? That's what other people say. And a lot of people emphasize on it. And just a sheer number, 30. 3 decades, 3 times 10. Such a long time, isn't it? You're no longer young anymore. Kind of an adult. I mean, of course, you become an adult at 18 or 21. But you're really old enough to be called an adult already, right? I can still remember vividly the things that happened in primary school, secondary school, poly, army, and uni. Okay, by the way, I don't really... Like, as I talk right now, there's lesser ums and whatever, because I actually wrote out like quite a fair bit of notes and like a script to some extent. So I'm just reading out the script, and if there's anything to expand on, I'll expand. And hopefully that it makes the experience more tolerable. Yeah, so like what I'm saying, the things that happened in primary school, secondary school, just feels like it happened not too long ago. Sometimes I catch myself looking at the date and then reflecting back, thinking when I was in poly, that was like 7 to 8 years ago. Yeah, it feels so recent, like it happened yesterday. I remember I talked about this kind of experience before, this feeling of these things just happening yesterday. And you know, at that moment where I kind of reflect back, I have this sad realization that those times, right, are kind of behind me already. That will never happen again. They are gone. Gone really. No more. You cannot go back in time. Like, it's one and done. No more. All you have left, right, is your memories. And this kind of feels like a Maroon 5 song, right? I remember the memory song. Okay. Anyway, Maroon 5, Adam Levine. Ah, so sad. But you know, inside this sad realization, there's a deep sense of relief. When I remember back then, I was young. I mean, like some of you who have been listening to this podcast kind of knows my upbringing, my family background. And I feel that when I was young, I did not really have much power. I wasn't in control. I felt that I was oppressed, subjected to my father's emotional problems, my mom's emotional problem. I remember really hating going back home, hating public holidays, because for some odd reasons, that is always the time my parents will quarrel, and now they have mellowed out. Things are somewhat better, they don't really shout at each other. Emotional problem is still kind of there. However, I can still sense like they're the same person, even though they mellow out. They don't scream, they keep they maintain the peace and a little more held back, a little more mature, I guess. But deep down, they are still the same. They behave very similarly. And anyway, you know, this relief kind of make me feel a bit less sad, knowing that I'm no longer young. You know, like the young and the youthful times have passed. Like, as much as it is sad, it's the relief that I'm no longer am under, like, subjected to my parents. Okay, I'm still kind of subjected to my parents' emotional problem, but I have a little more control now, a little more power, and at the same time, because of my upbringing, it made me look forward to the future instead of looking back at the past. Whenever people talk to me, they bring up like whatever things that happened in poly, in secondary school, I can never remember them. Maybe it's just a way to block out memory. When you block out one set of memory, you block out everything. Perhaps that's the case. And I just feel that the current time and the future is better than the past, even though I really miss the freedom, the naivety, the sense of like just being able to do anything without any, not really have to think about your future and your responsibility that much. I mean, now I have a little bit more responsibility, but the fact that I'm dealing with a lot more emotion problems that have stacked up over the years and thinking about my future kind of feels a bit sad, I guess, a bit stressful. And in the past, when you're young, you don't really have to think about all this kind of mounting stress. I mean, last time stress, okay, and now maybe it's a different kind of stress. But anyway, I feel I have more power now. I'm more control, less bullied. I think once you pass secondary school, you don't really get bullied that much. Not subjected to my parents' oppression, I would say. Not super stressed because of all this family problem. I think what is scary to me now are like several things. Like as I close in on 30 years old, I think the first thing is dying alone. Growing old alone and not experiencing love in the emotional sense, physical, verbal sense. I can remember my parents did, I mean, like my parents got provide these things lah, but the whole family problem, the quarreling, the shouting, created this bad experience that kind of muddied these actions. So sometimes I just daydream that maybe one day I'll have a partner where she will love me, care for me. It's kind of sad actually. And I never really had such thoughts last time. I think it just compounded throughout as I grow older and created out of like, you know, this kind of, this feeling, right, just slowly generated out of several experiences, right? Getting old, speaking to people, speaking to my friends, realizing how some family have such intimacies, realizing I don't really have it, you know, people kind of pointing it out to you, and it just feels a bit sad. I mean, my family does that, but it's just the fact that all this quarreling kind of make this now voided. Yeah, but I think I'm trying to come into I want to come to acceptance, you know, I want to accept the fact that nothing is really perfect, right? Where, you know, I might find a partner, she will do all these things for me, she will love me and everything, but then there are also bad parts. And if I keep on looking at the bad parts and ignore the good parts, like, you know, just focusing on my family problem instead of the things that they have done, right? It might carry over, right, to my partner, and there's nothing perfect. But then at the same time, I keep on drawing comparison to other people. And when I see other people, family, like, I mean, we kind of start, I see my cousins, they start out at the same place. Their parents are kind of like, you know, very controlling. I mean, maybe when you're young, right? But then you see that as they grew older, right, they reach about my age, really. Their parents are like my parents' age. They can be intimate, they can be close, but maybe just some part, like personality, inherited personality, emotional disposition, just cannot get past this, I guess. And my parents' emotional I don't know, skills, EQ, just the ability to manage this kind of thing is just not there. And maybe I also, that's why these kind of things happen, right? Yeah. Anyway, now that you hear all these things, you think that I would constantly think of, like, you know, having a girlfriend, like those people that cannot be alone kind, break out with one girl or guy, the next day will find another one. So you constantly need to have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Well, but that's not the case. For those who have been listening to this podcast, would kind of clue in, like, would know. Like, I think early on, I was very caught up with dealing with all this emotional trauma and problems back then, and also managing the repercussions from these problems, right? Low confidence, shitty in my studies, not being able to do well. And then when I'm, like, kind of ready, like now, it becomes slightly challenging. I become so used to being alone. Anyway, let me check whether am I recording. I damn scared. Sometimes these kind of things happen. Yeah. So, what was I saying? Yeah, so the low confidence and everything. But now I become so used to being alone, right? I find it very hard to give up time for people. Like, really commit time. Like, give my time to this person that I barely know. I mean, if you think about it, like, the easiest straightforward way, not really straightforward, but the easiest way is to use dating app, right? But it's very hard to give up time for somebody that you barely know. And it's like you're taking a risk, you're investing. And you know, some guys can do that. Like, innately, I think maybe biologically, you are man, then you want to go and seek out partners and everything, right? Then they have this motivation. But then I just kind of got too used to being alone really. And sometimes I feel sad, but I'm able to hide or repress these things very easily. Maybe it's a skill that I built up when I dealt with my family problem, right? Yeah. But anyway, I feel like, you know, when it comes to dating, it's starting from ground zero, right? And perhaps the best way is just to go for some volunteering stuff or at work, where you don't really start from true ground zero, starting from trying to peel back the black box, because at least you know the person, like your colleague or whatever it is, then it might be easier to build that relationship, right? But I mean, these kind of things, it is also a chance thing, right? Like, whether you are lucky enough to have someone that you can build a relationship with in that context. Perhaps you can expand or increase your chances by going to volunteering, but sometimes, you know, people are just unlucky not being able to meet people here, right? Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, it takes time, takes money as well. And it's not just the time part, it's also the part where I can't part with my money, right? Then sometimes I just ask, like, you know, like, how I ask myself, like, I don't want to spend time, I don't want to spend money. How am I going to find someone? I'm sure some of you might think, how much money, you know, like, do you need, really need, right? You still need to eat, right? You can eat together at coffee shop, right? But I feel that when you reach the point where you can eat at coffee shop, I wouldn't say it that way, but it's more of like, if you are both working adults, then, I mean, of course you eat coffee shop once in a while, or not once in a while, sometimes, like maybe 3 out of 4 times, but then that one time you want to treat yourself, right? You don't always want to go and eat cai fan, because you are both working adults, you got money to spare, celebrating your payday, celebrating anniversary, just enjoying food, enjoying different kind of food, different kind of experiences, right? And all of this costs money. And as a working adult, it makes sense to, I mean, spend a little lah. But maybe it's just me. I'm just way too frugal already. Like, whenever I receive my pay, I don't know whether I got mentioned this before. It's like the paradigm, you know, when it comes to saving. Yeah, I realized that there are people out there, or maybe majority, I'm not too sure, they kind of set aside a portion for saving. So it's like 10%, 20%, 30%. Then last time I used to do that. I mean, that's what is being taught, right? Online, some self-help article, finance article. And that's what I did when I first started my part-time job at Starbucks. But then, as I grew older, experiences things, I realized how important it is to have money ready. I don't want to borrow money again. I want to be able to spend freely whenever I need to. I become very frugal, and 10%, 20%, 20% no longer matter anymore. I'm saving everything, and the logic kind of shifts, right? I save everything, and whenever I spend, I'm taking out my savings. So it makes it very painful because I'm taking out my savings. And by taking out my savings, I will have less freedom, less ability to pay for things I want. And that was the logic. So it makes it very hard for me to part with my money. So with a partner, you know, like now my savings are quite high, right? I spend for myself. I can eat cai fan every day, $3 only. Then with a partner, it's like I need to double my spending, right? I need to do all these things. We need to hang out. We need to go for these experiences. And, you know, it's something that I need to do. I guess it's a... And perhaps I shouldn't be looking at it in a very monetary sense, because if I start looking at it from this sense, right? And then when I look for a partner, when I find a partner, it can really cloud my judgment. It can really make me someone that is too superficial, very surface level, very focused on transactions. And at the end of the day, I need to really shift my mindset when it comes to relationship to be more of a less transactional and more of a, like a love, kindness, I suppose, just giving, purely giving. And hopefully, like, you know, the person can also do the same. But I think we'll start talking about that. That also feels a bit transactional, right? These kind of expectations. But I guess that's something I need to change. That's something that I realized as well. And I mean, besides the money, like what I mentioned, there's a time part. I just grew so used to being alone already, right? My weekends is just doing YouTube, doing podcasts. I think last time there was a period after I graduated. I'm not religious, but I thought, you know, I should experience different religion, learn from the best, learn to be a better person. Then I went to church with my friend to really learn things out, to understand different perspectives, understand the Christian perspective. Like I don't even go to church anymore, like even 2 years already. And I never even converted at all. I think once I stopped, when the day when I stopped going to the church with my friend, right, is when I started doing YouTube and podcast. And that was where I like finally had something to give and love and to be creative, right? And when I see the numbers go up, I feel like a high. And when people comment and say they like my video or podcast, I'm happy because I'm giving back, right? And there's a good feedback loop there. Then I suddenly, you know, I need to sacrifice all these things to hang out with the person. I mean, you think I really thought about it. Like I think through already. If I need to create this relationship, right? You can't meet once a week, right? That doesn't make sense. That is like meeting a friend, a close friend, like a best friend. So at least you need to go like 2 times a week, meet 2 times. Then 2 times is when? Weekends, right? And then during a weekday. So it will eat into the whole, my content creation time. And, you know, some people might say you can meet her and do your own things, right? Then you also got to question whether are you spending quality time together. You can do your own things when you can, you know, go to her house, or she come. Okay, she's not gonna come to my house because of all the shit that's happening. But I can go to her house, and then I do my own thing. She do her own thing. And I mean, sometimes you can do that, but that is when you become very comfortable. But at the start, you need to have quality time, right? And even if you become comfortable, there needs to be a quality time. You need to do things together, like hiking, watching movie together, building experiences, right? And that doesn't make sense, doing this so early in the relationship. And you know, well, we're at this juncture where my friend will always just say, right, when I sound all these concerns, like rambling, then they say, why do you think so much? Just go do it lah. Don't need to think so much, man. And that's true. Like, I feel that when the time comes, when I meet someone I really love, who is caring, cool, understanding, things will kind of fall in line, things will work out, I will have the kind of passion and dedication, motivation, time to sacrifice. I'll be willing to spend money. We will both also be very understanding to save money for house and not splurge like crazy. We also both like our alone time as much as we depend on one another for emotional support. And we still like to hang out with one another and do activities together. That's the logic. Not quite sure whether this is wishful thinking, expectations, setting expectations as unreal. No idea. Maybe, I don't know. I just gotta keep trying, keep putting myself out there and see whether these kind of things happen. If it doesn't, then you just kind of like pull down your expectation, right? Bring it down. Yeah. So that's one of the things that is plaguing me as I get close. As I get close to 30 years old, I can really feel it, you know, like just what I mentioned, right? I can feel the sickness. And I feel like my left side is like, it's like, you know, that sore throat is going to come already. And you can feel like there's a bit of like inflammation. And it kind of reminds me of the previous time when I had COVID like about a year ago. It's also left side. And you feel a bit like uncomfortable, but not so uncomfortable to a point that you cannot speak. And then I keep on drinking water. And that's what happened today, you know? And I can feel like a bit of like an ulcer happening in the throat really. And the next day, it just immediately blow up, you know. My throat become like, there's like somebody using razor to cut my throat like that. Please, hopefully I don't get sick. I want to do things, man. Anyway, I kind of deviated really. So besides the relationship problem, right? There's also this small concern that is beginning to grow and snowball, which is my future, my career, my life, like excluding the romantic parts. Like what do I want to do for the rest of my life? I mean, I want to create content for sure, but that's not really work, right? Like if it become work, if I can earn money from it, that's good, but not anytime soon. So, you know, a year ago, I was okay with my current life. I'm okay with doing the same type of work and earning the same pay, weekday nights and weekends I could do my content, tap into the creative part of myself, and that was perfect. But recently I feel like, you know, in my bones, in my gut feeling, like there's a slight tingling sensation of restlessness. I think it really comes from the stresses of approaching 30, you know, and still living with my parents. I mean, maybe partly it's also the Western influence, and a lot of people, kind of makes sense, right? A lot of people still do that. They stay with their parents at 30 years old. So, I mean, it's like there's still quite a big portion of them. And it's normal, the things I don't... But the thing is, like, I really don't feel like that's good for you. I think it partly stems from my childhood experience. I was very independent early on. And I can't imagine myself living with my parents beyond 30. I feel that there's a next stage of growth that can only... The next stage of growth that can only be unlocked when I venture out and live alone. And then, you know, you would say, right, why not rent a room, live alone? And that's the frugal part of me will just balk at the idea how expensive it is to do that. That $800 can be put into investments that can make my life more stable later on. Like later on in my life, it can grow and give me more money. So at this juncture, I kind of have a few choices, right? I can get married early like my parents and faster escape my parents. You know, like my parents in their time, right? They will faster want to escape their big family, right? Because that time is baby boomer generation. They don't want to slave of their parents anymore. Because like sometimes, you know, extra pair of hands, right? You have a lot of kids to help you work, do all your blue collar labor work. And then sometimes your parents are a bit abusive. So you want to faster escape to gain independence. And that's what my parents did, right? Faster get married. But you don't even know them. You don't even understand them. You don't even have any deep emotional connection. You don't even know what are their good traits, their bad traits, whether you can tahan them or not. Excuse me. I need to drink some water. I don't know. I realized like maybe it's just stress, or as I grow older, like there's a lot of acid reflux. I keep on to burp. I want to drink water. And it gets very annoying also. I don't know whether you guys experience it. But anyway, talking about my parents, yeah. So they quickly got married, escaped their own parents, lived together. But then, you know, you get into these kind of things too fast already. Then you have all these problems coming out lah. You don't know how to deal with all these things. And then there's like the risk of finding a partner that you don't really understand, not compatible with. But on the other side, I can get a room, but it's too expensive, not financially smart. And I mean, I can buy Toto, pray that I win. But you know, today Toto the Chinese New Year one, I didn't win lah. I mean, okay, so usually I don't really buy Toto. I don't buy at all. Maybe just like Chinese New Year buy once to see, have, like play for fun lah. I never win lah. So I'm still living here, still starting work on Monday. Yeah. So besides finding a room, the best solution, I think all of these things I consider already. So I feel that the best solution, right, is to work overseas. Because, I mean, I still have to pay for rent. However, it is justifiable. It is justified because I'm working overseas. I got no choice, so I have to pay for rent. Even though maybe the rent might be as expensive as Singapore rent, but I'm hoping I can work in like Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Thailand. It's a lot cheaper. Cost of living is a lot cheaper also. And that will make it a lot more palatable, right? Then working overseas is also a learning experience too. And overall, it just feels more palatable to be forking out money for a room overseas than in Singapore. But circling back, you know, I'm beginning to embrace this idea of working overseas. But it's hard, man. Not everybody can have the chance to do that. Companies have to pay for your visa. You have to be very zai, right? Very good at it. Good at your job. You have like some sort of special skills. Otherwise, it's very difficult. And it's like, you know, like this content thing goes anywhere. I can be a digital nomad, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Yeah. So right now, I'm just looking for overseas job. Speaking to my manager about such opportunities. I think I'm still haven't reached that point yet. I'm 29, right? So I have not desperate enough yet. Once I hit 30, then I become very desperate. And then when I start going for more weddings, then it's going to make me feel even more sad that I was trying to escape this country, right? Yeah, I think I used to be very scared of living alone. Like working overseas can be challenging, right? And the solo Vietnam trip was also a testament to the fact that I can't really live alone. Like it's a bit sad when you feel a bit depressing when you're alone. But then at this point, like the sadness or the not really stress, just sadness of living alone doesn't really outweigh like the fact that I'm staying in Singapore and I'm still staying with my parents at 30 kind of outweighs that, right? Of like, you know, suffering from loneliness. I'm okay with loneliness now. Like, not really okay with it. It's like I can accept it. I'm willing to bite that bullet instead of to change up my environment instead of just staying with my parents at 30. I'm not quite sure, man. But I'm, you know, at this point, I'm ready to jump into the deep end. I don't really care to see what comes out of it, right? And I trust that I will figure it out. I'm not too sure, but we'll see how it goes. And yeah, that's all I want to discuss. Oh, 33 minutes. Hopefully you guys have, enjoyed this. Is this something that you enjoy? No, right? But I just hope that you guys like, you know, felt relatable. There are some parts that are relatable. I'm not quite sure. I don't think my situation is relatable to everyone, but maybe some parts are relatable or interesting, entertaining, I guess. Yeah. And hopefully I don't get sick tomorrow. Anyway, if you have been enjoying this podcast for quite some time, please consider checking out the Patreon page. You can support me for as cheap as a taping for like $2-3. Then you get an additional bonus episode per month. All this money will go towards the video setup, live stream setup, creating more time, freedom to focus on more content for this podcast. And you can check it out at patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, patreon.com/chillaxpodcast is in the description. And also consider emailing me. I mean, I don't bite. I am okay with replying. I like to see who is listening to my podcast. Yeah, and that's all. I'll see you guys next time.